Welcome back.
Oh, wow. That was the wheezing.
This is Emily.
This is Shelby.
Today, we're going to be talking about
Dancing for the Devil documentary.
Just as a warning, this episode does mention accounts of sexual assault. So this documentary just came out on
Netflix? I think on Netflix.
And it's about this group of dancers who got involved with a cult. And it is wild. A lot of these dancers were on Dancing with the Stars, World of Dance.
So You Think You Can Dance.
Yeah.
And when I started watching it, I was like, oh my gosh, like I've seen these dancers all over social media.
Yeah.
But after watching this, I was like, this is so sad that they are just like a part of this thing. Yeah. And we'll get into it. We're going to get into it.
And this is, I feel like everyone's talking about this right now.
Oh yeah.
And when I started watching it, Down's like, I recognize that girl.
Yeah.
He's like, I've seen her all over my Instagram.
The main girl? Dancing.
Yeah. Miranda Derrick. Her maiden name is Wilking. So.
And it kind of starts with her sister, Melanie Wilking. And they actually had like a social media platform already called like the Wilking Sisters.
Yeah, they like had tons of followers on TikTok and millions, I think.
Yeah, they're over both like really good dancers, super cute, super like sweet girls.
They were getting brand deals.
Yeah,
and they like, were like attached at the hip since the time they were little.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden Miranda joined this like Korean church or this religion, basically.
Yeah.
Started by a guy named Robert.
Shekinah is the name of the religion.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Shekinah is the name of the church, and yes, it was started by Robert Shin,
mm-hmm, who claims to be like a Christian pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was all downhill from there, basically. Yes, yeah. Miranda, like, joined this church,
then joined the agency and basically cut off communication with her family. But we'll go through more details regarding how that all went down.
Mm-hmm. Because it is crazy. And if you haven't watched this, I mean, feel free to listen because we're really going to get into it.
Just trying to give you a recap.
Yeah, recap and our thoughts, but it's definitely worth the watch. It's like 3 episodes.
The weird thing about this documentary is you recognize people from it. First of all, like I said, Dallin was like, I know that girl from social media. And everyone was talking about this. Shelby was the first one to tell me about it. And then my mom was like, have you seen this? And then my brother texted me.
He's you watched this?
I was like, and that was when I was on the first or second episode. And I said, I'm watching it right now. And he's like, I know a girl that was in Shekinah. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, I know this girl who was in Shekinah. And her mom's actually still in it. And her mom like gave up her house to Robert and all this stuff. Because Robert is really greedy for money. So anyways, yeah. I just have to say it's just weird
just
to
all of
see
the
this crazy stuff happening to people that you like have connections to.
Yeah.
You know, because we watch these dancers on So You Think You Can Dance and Instagram and World of Dance. So yeah, it's just the dance world is pretty small. So mm-hmm, it's weird that something so creepy was happening in the dance world.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not the first time something creepy's happened in the dance world. Crazy stuff happens all the time. But yeah, let's kind of get into it. So yeah, it like starts off with the Wilking sisters, and Melanie is telling her story and how Melanie and Miranda have this good thing going, and then Robert, the pastor of Shekinah or whatever, takes interest in these dancers. And we couldn't remember who was the first dancer to join the
team. Yeah, we couldn't figure it out. So if you remember, let us know.
It's been a minute since I watched it. But he just, like, takes some interest in these dancers, and they start doing social media stuff. They get some gigs, start making money.
Well, let's go back a little bit.
Okay.
So Robert Shin, like we said, started this church.
Yes.
And he had it for many years.
Well, it started as, like, a Korean church, right? Yeah. He gathered.
Mm-hmm. And then along the way, we do learn that he's very greedy for money because he starts all these businesses associated with the church.
Anyways, trying to make money.
Yeah, trying to make more money. But once he meets some of these dancers that become involved with the church, and he sees how many followers they have, mm-hmm, and how much talent they have, he's like, I think he just thought, wow, this is the jackpot for me to make money. And well, so he's like, what if I were to start a talent agency?
Yeah. He, like, tried all of these other things, like real estate, and to be in his good graces, you had to, like, be successful because there were all of these fees that the church required, like, kind of like tithing. And he would take most of their money.
Yeah.
And then he found these dancers, and most of them already had, like, good followings. But after they were under his direction, they just, like, grew so much bigger.
Yeah, so he's like, I'm going to start a talent agency, and he just made it seem like the greatest thing ever. And they were like, this is great, this is my big break, like, this guy is going to help me get all these jobs. And I'm not going to lie, was he kind of good at his job?
Yeah.
Because he got these dancers all these deals, and also, he has several houses, and he was like, well, why don't you guys move in and pay me rent? And it just seemed like the perfect situation to these dancers who are trying to make it in LA, you know, struggling dancers.
Yeah.
It's not an easy industry to be in. And so they're like, great, a place to stay, a super nice house for, you know, a good price to pay rent. And we get to live with all these fellow dancers and get to create and help each other make videos.
A weird part of it, how he always would have them stay in the same house.
Yeah.
Like, the dancers stayed in the same house, and then when it was, like, in the third episode or whatever, there was, like, when he started, like, the Koreans going to church, he would have them stay in the same house.
Exactly. So we kind of learned later in the docuseries that this had been a theme for a long time,
mm-hmm,
because there was two sisters, Melanie and Priscilla, which is confusing because Melanie's also the name of one of the Wilking sisters, so don't get it mixed up. But Melanie and Priscilla were part of the church when they were young, and he had them also
wrapped around his finger,
living in one of his houses
and doing so much work for him. And he just, like, he basically took all of their money, and he's like, I'm giving you so much, like, you have to, like, pay all of these fees and do all of these things. And
he somehow made it seem like he was giving these dancers everything when he was actually taking everything from them.
Yeah.
Like, and he is the most manipulative, brainwashing guy.
He, and what's so sad is they all, especially the dancers, they all believed that it was from God, and, like, right, everything, like, all of their success, everything that was happening with 7M was all from God and because of God. I mean, it could be, but it's also just, they were so brainwashed.
And we would learn that he was getting these dancers pretty cool jobs. Like, they were doing commercials, and they were getting a pretty big payout. But first of all, he took an agency fee, which is normal for any agency to take a percentage of what the job paid. And then they would take, like, 30% for tithes and offerings for the church. And this is part of the problem, was that the church and the talent agency were way too closely entwined. It was super unprofessional. Like, you didn't know where one ended and the other one started.
And he, like, would force them to go to church.
Yeah. I remember, if you were part of the talent agency, you were a member of his church.
And there was like one part, I'm pretty sure it was Melanie, Miranda's sister, because she was kind of like in the beginning working with them a little bit. Mm-hmm. And this is when she realized it wasn't a good thing, where she was supposed to be somewhere else. I can't remember the details. And she got a call from someone and they were like, Robert needs you to come to service today. Like, he really thinks you should come to service. But her other obligation was obviously a higher priority than coming to his service.
And you needed a special invitation to go to his church services.
Yeah.
So they're trying to make it seem like it's this huge privilege that they're inviting her. And she's like, oops, sorry, I got to take my friend to the airport today.
That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. And they're just like trying to manipulate her into thinking she has to be at church today. Yeah. She's like, sorry, can't come.
And then that's when she was like, okay, like this, I don't think this is like, okay.
Weird vibes. Uh-huh. Also, but I think before that experience, Miranda had invited Melanie over to Robert's house for dinner.
Mm.
And remember, Robert was like, do you consider yourself a sinner?
Oh,
and she
yes.
was like, no. She, like, didn't know how to answer that. She's like, no, because her family wasn't super religious.
Yeah.
She hadn't been exposed to a lot of religion.
And then is this when they, like, did the blessing,
yes.
the weird blessing?
So he's like, let me bless you, and I can help you. I don't even remember. Like, he basically was saying, I can bless
you
and help you.
I can rid you of your evil, mm-hmm. of your sins.
And so he, like, sat her in the middle of the circle with all the other, like, church members and dancers.
Yeah.
And they just started chanting and saying weird things. And I just, she
and
was
she
like,
described
I,
it
was
like
weird.
They were speaking in tongues. And if that happened to me, I would be like, get me out of
yeah.
here.
They had recordings. And I think they were actual recordings from some of his church
yeah.
groups in the docuseries. So you guys
sermons.
Should watch it and listen because it is wild. So anyways, that was pretty much all of Miranda's experience with the church. And she was like, I'm not interested.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
This is weird. And Miranda stayed. And Miranda was dating her now husband. What's his name? James?
I think his name
is James.
Know.
And they were both a part of this. And they actually still are.
Yeah, which, ooh, it's so sad. But, like, right at the beginning, some of the parents that, like, spoke up about this in the documentary, some of the parents had a bad feeling right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's just that thing of, like, mother intuition, parent intuition, and you should listen to it. And most of them were like, I don't know about this. Like, I don't think it's the best. And lo and behold, it's not.
Yeah. And I might be jumping ahead, but I love how, I mean, the documentary mostly followed the Wilking twins' parents, because they were stopping at nothing. They were like, we're getting our daughter back, we're getting to the bottom of this, because
the things that they did, the lengths that they went to, they went like full-on stalker mode.
They went stealth mode. Like, what's that movie, Taken?
You.
Oh. You know, where the dad
yes
flies
oh
across
gosh.
The country to get his daughter back.
Yes,
they were
it
like
is totally
full-on
Taken.
Going Taken mode. But the thing that we didn't bring up yet is that Robert convinced all these dancers to completely cut off their family.
Yes.
That's when you know things are going south. Like, the isolation, I think, is such a dangerous thing.
If you are ever told to not talk to your family, run as far and as fast as you can.
Yeah, unless your family's Robert Shin.
Yeah. Or if your family's toxic, I guess. But her, she had a great, like, her
I
parents
mean, they
were amazing.
That's what's crazy.
That one part where her dad, like, got emotional, I was like, oh.
Their family was so close-knit. And like we said, Miranda and Melanie were tied at the hip. And then within a few months, Miranda
she was just gone.
Cut off her family because Robert had convinced her that it was the right thing to do. That she needed to cut off her family to save them. And he would call it, what did he call it? Die to your family.
Die to your family. Die to yourself. Which, this part, I was kind of like, whoa, what does that mean? But in the documentary, they explain it as, like, leave your family so that you can help them and be resurrected or whatever. And that is the most backwards thing, the most brainwashing idea. But Miranda was like so, and she's probably still is, so brainwashed that her grandpa died and they were supposed to, Melanie and Miranda were supposed to go back
home. They had flights back home. And at the last minute, Miranda was like, can't go.
I have COVID. I can't go. But he probably told her, like, you can't leave, even for your grandpa's funeral.
Like, he made it seem like seeing your family and talking to your family was going to, like, ruin your salvation for yourself and your family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is just wild.
And Miranda got married. Yeah. Without telling her family.
Her and James ended up like eloping.
Not
and
even.
Her family found out on Instagram.
Yes, they found out most everything from Instagram. And
like, obviously, their family is already super concerned, but at this point, they are just devastated. And they're like, this is not okay. And they, at one point, they fly out to LA. To find her.
Yes, this is when they go full on.
She blocked them on everything. There is no contact. I'm okay. Yes. I just had a stroke. But yeah, I love the Wilking family. And there were other parents. Okay. The other thing was that the Wilking parents, they did the best possible thing. Which is reaching out to other parents and posting on social
they
media.
They reached getting out.
The word. Honestly, this docuseries is because of them. Because they would stop at nothing to get the word out about what happened to their daughter. So that it wouldn't happen to
they
other people.
They reached out to one of the other dancers named Nick. And
to his parents, right?
Yes. To his parents.
Yeah.
And they were working with him. They called the police. And told them everything that was happening. They work with Nick's parents. Miranda's parents are working with Nick's parents. Melanie's obviously helping as well. They call the police and tell them everything that's happening and are basically like, what can we do? And the police tell them, because these dancers are adults, there's nothing we can do. And they're like willingly doing all of this stuff. So there's, unless one of them like comes forward, or if there's like any type of abuse that happens, then we can do something. And I was just like, oh, like that made so me so frustrated because
and can you imagine how the parents felt?
Oh no. And
they're devastated.
I would be so frustrated, so devastated. And I think that's one of the moments where the dad was just like, wow, like my sweet little girl is basically in the like one of the worst situations, and I just had a stroke. And I can't do anything about it.
I think the phone call that you're referring to, they did call the police, I believe, and they were also talking to the human trafficking hotline.
Mm.
And that's the lady that was kind of explaining to them, this is a difficult situation because they're adults and they went into this religion
willingly
or whatever.
Yeah.
Also, the thing I was going to say about when the parents flew out to LA to try to find her, they couldn't just knock on her door because the houses are behind gates.
Oh yes, like,
they're literally compounds.
Yes,
that is the best way to describe these houses that these dancers and Robert's it's family like are living in.
Polygamist compound,
literally a compound. Like, it is wild.
They're actually Amish.
Also, they're really nice houses. Robert drives, what was it, a Porsche?
I don't know, but he probably had so much freaking money from all of these people that were just working for him and trying to like trying to kiss his butt.
I have a problem because I keep like remembering, I start thoughts and I don't finish them, and then I remember the other half of my thought later, so
it's okay.
I keep going back. But with the paychecks, we were talking about how the agency takes a percentage. And then the church takes a percentage.
And then they pay rent to Robert.
Yeah.
So that is basically their entire paycheck is now all going to Robert. And they think he's helping them.
Yes, they're making so much money, but all of it is going to Robert. Like, and the basically parents,
every single cent.
The parents were seeing this happen because they had access to Miranda's bank accounts.
Wait, they did?
Yes. I don't remember that. Was one part where they saw that she was like out of money, but they saw that like this money was being transferred here and this money was being transferred here.
I remember now.
And then she like ran out of money and they're like, why is she out of money? Why is she sending all of these random things to these random places? Ugh, that would just be so frustrating as a parent.
As I was watching this, maybe I'm wrong, but I would like to say that I would be smart enough that I would have at least enough knowledge about financials that I would say something ain't adding up here.
I gotta get out.
Yeah, they're
and the fact that they're still doing it to this day.
I know.
And Robert, spoiler alert, is not behind bars. He's still going.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, what?
Well, it's like, why wouldn't they talk to each other? Like, why wouldn't they be like, oh, are you noticing weird things, toxic behavior from Robert? I just didn't understand why the dancers or the other people that were a part of Shekinah, why didn't they talk to each other and like discuss it? They were just so like brainwashed and they wanted to be seen like well in his eyes and they wanted to be liked by him. And because if you were liked by him, then you were successful and you got spoken about in his services.
Yeah.
And they liked that and they wanted that.
Yeah, they made it seem, well, first of all, Robert was a man of God, is what he called himself, and what he led all of his churchgoers to believe. So if you were blessed by Robert, if you were invited by Robert, touched by Robert, it was all supposed to be like, oh my goodness, a huge privilege.
Yes.
Which,
a blessing.
I don't know if we want to go into that yet, but
we could.
There were
later on, some of the dancers started talking and we find out that Robert has been like sexually abusing
people within this organization.
And we also meet I think we talked about them already, Melanie and Priscilla, the Korean sisters
who were part of this church when they were younger.
Well, and
have also come out with stories about how Robert sexually abused them.
But the one sad thing about their story is they were also attached at the hip from a super young age. And they would stay, which is so weird. He would have all of these people and these kids just staying in the same house. And so these two sisters, Priscilla and Melanie, would always be in the same room, you know, because they're sisters. But then eventually they got split up. And
yeah, he would assign roommates. Like, he would choose who you're living with.
Yeah.
And at one point he split them up. They said that he would move them around every 9 months or so. So fairly often. And he'd be like, okay, you guys are getting new roommates. So he would separate the sisters.
Which and then just makes no sense. Like, their relationship just like drifted further and further away from there, from that. And it just ruined them and they weren't as close anymore. They felt like they couldn't talk to each other in the same way.
And sorry, we're jumping all over the place. Melanie Lee was the sister that ended up leaving Shekinah first. And Priscilla was there for a really long time, for over 20 years. She was a part of Shekinah.
And was it, this is when the sexual abuse comes out. And was it Priscilla that it like started with? It was one of the sisters, one of the Lee sisters.
I think I'm not sure if Melanie Lee ever said anything on the docuseries about being abused. I'm pretty sure it was Priscilla.
Priscilla. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. But she was getting abused at one point.
And I believe all of the accounts of abuse that the women have said were in their adult life, just to be clear. She never said that he abused them as children.
Yeah.
But he manipulated them and brainwashed them as children, that's for sure, because their parents had basically left them. Their dad left. This is the Lee sisters. Their dad left and their mom became a gambling alcoholic. So he kind of took them in, which is so messed up. Vulnerable children who want direction, who want belonging. He saw it as an opportunity to
take advantage.
Yeah, and brainwash them into thinking that this is their life now. And Priscilla, and well into her adulthood, served Robert and worked for him for so many years. And she is really messed up because of it.
Kissed the floor he walked on.
Yeah.
But she got sexually abused by him. Just like all of these crazy things were happening, and it honestly was so hard to watch this part. But she was explaining how she got sick, like when that was happening, around the time that was happening, and she told Robert, and he was telling her, oh, I'm just like cleansing you of your sins, I'm cleansing the evil out of you, and this is its way of coming out, and if you spend more time with me, then you will get cleansed faster. Mm-hmm. But I mean, obviously, we all know that that's not what was happening. She was getting abused, and that's why she was getting sick, is because of the abuse and the trauma that she was going through. And that's just another moment that he really, really brainwashed her. And then all of these other, like, accounts start to come out. But, mm-hmm. I mean, do we want to talk about some of those, or go back a little bit?
I know we're jumping all over the place.
It's okay.
We could go back to kind of jump forward in time, back to the dancers and the agency thing.
Yeah.
The Wilking family flew out. Was it in LA? They flew out to see Miranda dance in a performance.
Well, they didn't know she was going to be in the performance, I'm pretty sure. Maybe I thought
they flew out there to see her.
Maybe they did.
Because I saw this as an opportunity. Oh, she's doing a performance. Let's go see her.
Oh, like maybe they did. Yeah.
Any chance to see their daughter.
Yes.
They were taking.
Well, and throughout the whole documentary, you like see them just looking at her on social media. And that's like the only like form of contact, I guess you could say, that they got from her.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go out to see her in this Christmas performance. And obviously Miranda didn't know that they were going to be there.
Because they had no way to contact her.
Yeah. I think at this point she like had blocked them on social media. Anytime they commented on her posts, they would get deleted. There was one point where she blocked them on her cell phone so they couldn't call or text her. But they see her like at this Christmas, performance, whatever. And then they like surprise her like, oh my gosh, you were amazing. Like you've grown into such a beautiful dancer and a beautiful woman. And Miranda was just like a wall. Like, no emotion, stone cold, not excited to see them at all.
Yeah. What was the point where Robert realized, cutting off the families is not a good look for me? People are starting to get concerned. We're starting to get noticed by the media. He's like, I need to change something.
Yeah.
And so he tells the dancers, you do need to see your family.
Yeah. It was when everybody started like speaking up about it on social media. Yeah. Like, are these dancers okay? What's happening? This is a cult. All of these things.
And one big, really big thing
from social media was when Miranda and Melanie stopped dancing together, and Melanie was just trying to save their account and was like,
yeah,
if you've noticed, Miranda hasn't really been here, and she's just trying to be so nice about it. And everyone's
like, where's Miranda?
And the comments are like, what is going on? Like, yeah, they're like, something ain't right here. Uh-huh. So that was the start of something where people realized this isn't normal, and then
Robert kind of panicked. Yeah, and he was like, totally panicked, so bad on my part. So he told them, go to your families, go see them, spend time with them, all of these things. But when we see like Miranda spend time with her family, it's so fake, and it's all just for show. Like, it's all for social media so she can get footage of it.
And by the way, this is like present day.
Yes.
So Miranda now has a quote-unquote relationship with her family where they do see each other, but they have an agreement that they cannot talk about 7M or Shekinah or whatever you want to say, this whole organization. They cannot
bring up the fact that they're concerned for her. Like, that's her agreement. And the family is so desperate to just see her and touch her that they have agreed. We can see each other, especially on holidays, etc., but we will not bring it up. So, and the weird thing is, it feels like it's all just for social media. Miranda, like, posts all of these things, like, happy Mother's Day to my beautiful mother, and, like, Merry Christmas, we all have matching Christmas pajamas, but it's just all documented, all fake, all to make it seem like everything is normal, so that people stop getting concerns about Robert Shin, 7M, Shekinah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's just to cover up Robert. Pretty much. He's brainwashed them into saying that this is what you need to do. You need to be in contact with your families, but
yeah,
not too close.
One thing that I thought was weird was the whole man of God thing. So he called himself the man of God. He's the top ranking, and then he was looking for a woman of God. So all of these women were like trying to fight for the spot of women of God, and if they did one thing wrong, then they would like go down in the rankings. And then there were mentors, and like each mentor had like a certain amount of people that they basically controlled,
and some of the mentors were his children.
I don't know.
Anyways,
but the mentors, yeah, just had like these group of people, and they had access to a lot of their things. Like, they had basically access to Robert's their
minions. They would do all of his dirty work.
Yeah, and they had access to their bank accounts. Yes,
the bank accounts, moving money around.
And they had to always get permission from their mentor to go literally do anything. Spend anything. Any money, go anywhere, go see family. Like, just so messed up and so controlling.
And another flipping point was when one of the mentors left.
Remember this?
I don't remember.
So one of the mentors left, and some of the dancers were like, that's weird. And that sparked conversation with all of the messed up things that were happening. Specifically, I think, what's her name? Kylie?
Oh, yeah.
Douglas?
Kylie Douglas.
Kylie Douglas was one of the dancers that was a part of this organization for a little bit. And she was one of the people that was like, okay, something's not right. Let's talk about it. And she decided to leave kind of after that mentor left. Along with about half the dancers. I remember them saying half the dancers left. And then Robert really started panicking.
Yeah. But when those dancers started like talking with each other, they're like, okay, this isn't a good situation. Like, there are red flags, there are things that probably shouldn't be happening. And so they talked with each other, they decided to leave. They thought a lot of the other dancers were on board with them, but like half of them ended up staying. And they thought, okay, like, now that more people are talking about this, more things are coming out, these people are for sure gonna leave, like these other dancers are for sure gonna leave, and they never did, ever.
It's so wild. I mean,
just the fact that half of them stayed really shows how brainwashed they were.
Mm-hmm. Robert had an answer for everything mm-hmm. to get them to stay. Basically, I think he probably said that all the dancers and mentors that left are going to hell.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, as an outsider, you're like, why didn't they see it? Why didn't they know? But, like, there were so many red flags, so many things, like, to be, like, make them just leave, you know? But I think if you were actually in the situation, you really wouldn't know. Because when you're in it, you can't have that, like, wider perspective. Mm-hmm. And all of the people a part of the religion thought that if I get closer to the pastor, closer to Robert, I will be closer to God. And it was all like God based, and they had services all the time, and he would just like skew the things in the Bible to like work in his favor. It was just, it's crazy.
Let's talk about how there have been several like legal actions taken against Robert by previous members, and nothing has come of it yet, which is really frustrating.
Yeah.
So one of the Korean sisters did start a lawsuit against him
mm-hmm, to try and sue him. Mm-hmm. And they served, that part was so funny when they were serving him the papers.
Oh yeah.
They were like following him again, full on stalker mode, because I guess it's like, it was extremely hard to like just serve him the papers, and they like follow him, find him in this restaurant, and then they like give did they give it to him or just like someone that was in the group?
They served all of the people that were at that dinner.
Oh, okay.
And I think it was like him and his son and some other mentors, and maybe his wife was there. I don't remember. And the lawsuit was unsuccessful. Freedom of religion. It's really hard to convict someone of a crime when it's mm-hmm. they can just say, well, it's part of the religion. Mm-hmm. We do this because it's part of the church. And
it's so crazy because he probably knew all of those like legal parts, like that he couldn't get in trouble because they're adults. He couldn't get in trouble because it's a religion. Mm-hmm. And honestly, he is a smart man, but he's an evil man.
Yeah. And then the other thing is just the sexual abuse stories. I know for sure from the documentary that Kylie Douglas mm-hmm. has made several police reports.
Yes.
And they basically have said, we need more women to come forward before we can press charges.
Mm-hmm. So there were quite a few women that did come forward that, like, they weren't on the documentary, but they did mention that there were some women. And did the one Korean sister eventually give her report?
That's what I'm trying to remember. I feel like she did at the very end of the docuseries. So uh-huh. Priscilla, I believe it was, had been asked for so many years by people trying to convict Robert, please make a report. We mm-hmm. need more women to come forward. And she just, like, wouldn't do it because she's like, first of all, I'm trying to forget all of this.
Yeah.
I hate talking about it, which you can't really blame her. It's such a hard thing to come forward and to tell your story.
Yeah.
And so she didn't want to tell it because she kept saying, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
She genuinely believes that nothing will come of it, that he will never get justice. And so what's the point? I think she did end up going to the police at the end.
Yeah, and that and Kylie is kind of what got all of it to start the mm-hmm. whole process for the lawsuit and everything.
Yeah.
The one conversation between Priscilla and Melanie, I was like, wow, like, they're being so harsh with each other. This is crazy. And yeah. then I can't remember if it was Melanie or Priscilla that goes and talks to their dad and basically blames him for everything because he left them. He wasn't a very good dad. And he just, like, had to sit there and take it from her.
Yeah.
And she was like, why did you do that? Like, I blame you for everything. Yeah. But it's not his fault.
She basically said, if you hadn't have left us,
this wouldn't have happened.
We wouldn't have gone to Shekinah.
Which is true, kind of, but...
But you have to blame Robert. Like, we have to blame the actual problem here. Yeah, he was not a good dad. Yeah, he made mistakes.
But I, like, my heart went out to him.
It's Robert's fault
in that for part.
Taking in these vulnerable young girls.
Yeah.
And brainwashing them. And
he knew. Robert knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly who he was targeting. He was targeting minorities that had that need for connection and for community. And then he targeted these dancers that were young and just wanted to, like, make it in the world and be famous. So he knew what he was doing the whole time. Oh, we didn't talk about this part, how Miranda didn't even go to her own sister's wedding. First of all, Melanie is married to an NFL player.
Is she married now? Because I thought she's engaged.
They are engaged.
So and she basically married. Just said, I don't think my sister's going to be at my wedding, and I've had to come to terms with that.
That's right. That's right. They're not married yet. They're just engaged. They're a really cute couple, honestly. I like them.
Yeah.
The only update we have, like we said, the craziest part about this is all very new information to the media, relatively.
And it's all pretty current. Mm-hmm. Like, it's currently happening. Miranda and Nick, of, like, the two sets of parents that were really trying to do something about it, those two dancers are still a part of it. They haven't come out of it. And I know Miranda for sure has, like, spoken up about it and is like, I'm okay, like, this isn't a cult, like, basically stop bothering me.
Especially after this documentary has come out, literally nobody believes her.
Yeah.
I think everybody well, is like, I'm just like,
let's all band together and unfollow these dancers, you know? Like, let's just unfollow them so they stop getting views, stop getting likes.
Well, and I think especially... they're probably going to stop getting jobs.
Yeah.
Because they know that she's involved with Robert and Robert's going to take all the money.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully the fact that this documentary came out spreads the word, and that should change a lot of things. But as for now, there is a trial for Robert set for 2025,
mm-hmm.
which I'm like, ugh, that's so far. That's
it is so far away.
So if we have more information... more updates, we could potentially do more episodes, or at least post the updates on our Instagram if it's not enough for a full episode. So
let us know what you thought of this documentary, and if you watched it. I mean, we pretty much talked about all of it, so if you haven't watched it, you've got all the juicy details. But it's honestly pretty interesting, so go watch it. If you follow those dancers, unfollow them.
Also, the fact that this is our first true crime episode.
Yes.
I love true crime.
I like true crime, too. I have
listened to every true crime podcast that pretty much exists.
There's that other true crime documentary coming out in July.
That I sent you. I think it's a June 20th about the lady that lived.
Okay, I'm excited to see that. Thanks for listening. You guys, we love you. Like and subscribe. Give us a follow on Instagram, eb.pod, and now TikTok, if you're into that. Our TikTok so is unhinged. Very unhinged.
If you want to see us embarrass ourselves,
yes,
follow our TikTok. It's going to be awesome. We are just going to post whatever we feel like, whenever we feel like.
And yeah.
There's going to be no...
rhyme or reason.
No theme. Yeah. We're just going to post.
We don't have a niche.
Yeah.
Just anyways, whatever.
I think that's all for today.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.